We will enter our regular agenda. Considering the condition of the drought, I'd like to move agenda item 18 up, and this is just a report of possible session on the drought update.
I asked the chairman to do this. You see, it dawned on me whenever we were going through the pre-brief, looking at all the presentations that you have today. The drought is causing people to act differently. It's causing corporations to have to look into the future about places they've never been. It's causing municipalities to look at the water quality that's never been brown before. People are putting in bottles saying, "You want me to drink this?" It's causing, that's kind of the bad news. It's causing a civility to run through the all the people that you talk to. While they may not like you, they still understand that there is something going on here greater than them and us. So I want to start this off today because we're going to be asking you throughout the period of the day for additional money, because it's not about, if we didn't think about it, it's how quickly can you think about it and how quickly can you get it done. For those of you who've been on the board, you know that this is, the Alex Creek is a 40-year process. But we don't need it for a year, we need it next year. The same people that are saying we need it next year are the same people that just got the law passed and moved it back 7 years. It's very difficult, not in my backyard, the I want a full lake, all those competing processes, and the politicians are getting involved. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we have another meeting on Friday with a local group to say, why is Bell County being singled out to provide water to meet downstream contracts? Why don't they stay here? And so these are times of primary. So with that, Brad's going to give you where we are. We made a couple of changes in the charts, I think, to graphically show you where we are, where we came from a year ago, where we're going. It doesn't change until next year. We get your attention.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning. One of these days, I'll get to get up here and give you guys some good news, I hope, but unfortunately today, the drought's still upon us, and we did get a little bit of relief earlier this month, but we're still in pretty bad shape. Go ahead and get started here. Since we last briefed you back at the July board meeting in Sugar Land, these are some of the things that we've been involved with. We've been meeting individually with many of our customers weekly. We also held group meetings with some of our customers in Glen Rose, and then in Belton and Sugar Land back in the latter part of September. We had quite a few entities and quite a few of our customers attended those meetings. We've been continuing to follow our drought contingency plan and entering the various stages as we've hit the trigger levels at our lakes. One of the things that we're going to talk about a little bit later on in this presentation and even in a further agenda item are our release capabilities in Possum Kingdom. As you all know, since we've begun decommissioning in Possum Kingdom, the turbine tree means that we used to release water out of the lake for water supply releases as well as hydroelectric generation. Since we've started that decommissioning process, we've got a plan that's in place to install a new structure that will allow us to release water once the hydro facility is decommissioned. But the timeline for that hasn't coincided well with the drought, so we're going to talk to you a little bit more about that, what we've been looking at. We've also been keeping our website updated, having numerous media inquiries. I think Judy Pierce, our public information officer, is getting calls from newspapers and reporters weekly, if not daily. And all these things have been going on basically all summer long and continue to go on now. Next slide kind of gives you an idea. This is probably the most staggering chart that I've seen since this drought started. And it's hard to see and read. I apologize for that. It was produced by the state climatologist's office, I think John Nelson.
And on the y-axis over there, you can see the average annual temperature for the summer times going up on the y-axis. Over here on the bottom, you see the x-axis is the total amounts of rainfall that we would expect to see from June through August. And all those blue dots there that you see are all the data points from back around 1900 up through this year. So there's over 100 points there representing where we've been historically. And you can see the big red outlier of 2011 up there at the top. And over the last 100 years, we haven't seen anything like what we've seen this past year with regard to both the extreme temperatures. It's really off the charts when you look at the average temperatures for the summer, but it's also off the charts when you look at rainfall. And you know, that really puts into perspective the historic nature of this drought that we're in. Next slide, please. This is one that you guys have seen in past briefings that we look at from time to time. It shows how far behind we are from normal rainfall. If you look back to October 1st, 2010, when this drought really got started, and you look through September, this was through September the 12th, yeah, right there. Shows how far behind normal we were on rainfall. Yeah. And you can see that most of the basin was anywhere from 8 to over 20 inches below the normal rainfall amounts that we should have received over that time frame. If you look at the next slide, this shows the rain that we got a couple of weeks ago. It's the same picture we just looked at, only now we're looking at January of this year through October. So we capture the rain that we got back about 3 weeks ago. And you can see that in the central part of the basin and the upper area of the basin, we did see some significant rainfall that helped improve things up in there, especially around Lake Proctor, Lake Granbury, and Possum Kingdom were the lakes that benefited the most from those rains. And they went from being, you know, 12 to 20 inches below normal to in the neighborhood of 6 to 12 inches below normal. Next slide. This is a picture of the Brazos River at Seymour. For those of you that aren't familiar with the upper basin, this gauge is located probably maybe 100, 150 river miles upstream of Possum Kingdom. And this picture was taken by our environmental field sampling crew back in August of this year, and the river was basically dry. And with the exception of the rain that we saw earlier this month, and the flow in the river there got up to about 150 CFS, it's looked just like that since about June, and no time in our history have we seen that. I mean, it really is a striking photograph that the river was essentially dry in the upper portion of the basin. This is another chart that we look at as we've gone through the drought, and this one is looking at inflows to our reservoirs. If we go back to October of 2010 when the drought got started, and we're starting at zero, so if we zero out all of our inflow and started October of 2010 and look at the total amount of flow that we've had flowing into our reservoir starting then through September of this year, the black line there, as you see, is this year, and it's lower than any other October through September period that we've seen. And again, as with the chart that we showed you earlier that had the 100 years of data points on it, this database also has over 100 years of inflow data in it. You can see some of the other drier periods that we've seen throughout history. There was a real dry period from 1983 to 84, that's the blue line. Then one from October 1916 to 1917, that's the red line. And then in purple, you can see during the 50s drought from October 1950 to October 1951. But the thing to highlight is that the black line, which is this past 12 months, is lower in terms of the total amount of inflow than what we would have seen in any of those prior droughts. This slide here shows the drought, U.S. drought monitor. That's the legend at the lower left to the right there, the drought severity. You can see that almost all of the state is in exceptional to extreme drought. And again, you can see that in the central and upper portion of the basin, the rainfall that we had did help out some there, and it's categorized as being in a severe drought currently. You can also see the status of our reservoirs there, and I'm going to show some more slides that will show the percentage full that we are on our reservoirs as we go further along. This is looking at water use, and I believe I showed you this slide back at the July board meeting about how much higher our water use was running this year as compared to last year, and that's continued to be the case. We've updated the water use data through September, and the dark blue is this year and the light blue is last year. And we've already used almost 200,000 acre-feet as of the end of September of this year. And that's, at most of the lakes, anywhere from 20 to 50% more water being used by customers that take water directly from the lakes than what we saw in 2010. Next slide. And this slide is looking at the amount of releases that we've made for our customers that take water downstream of the reservoirs. We've got some that take water directly from the lakes that we were looking at just previously. This slide actually shows the ones that we actually release water for, and there's a little bit of a double accounting thing that I want to point out. The total there you see is 430,000 acre-feet is what we've released, but if you look at the very first bar, that's Possum Kingdom, and you can see that we released a little over 90,000 acre-feet from Possum Kingdom from April 1 through September the 30th. That water flows to Lake Granbury, and so you can see that at Granbury of that 90,000 acre feet that's been released from Possum Kingdom. A little under 70,000 acre feet has been passed on downstream to Lake Quitney. And so then you see Lake Quitney, and a total of almost 100,000 acre feet has been released from Lake Quitney. And so that water that's been released from Lake Quitney consists of some water from storage in Lake Quitney, but also that water that's being released from upstream. And so when you add all the releases up from Lake Quitney on down, it totals about 250,000 acre feet that's been actually released for our downstream customers. When you add this slide to the previous slide, we're at almost 450,000 acre feet of total water use through the end of September. And our previous record high water use was 303,000 acre feet, and that was set in 2009. So we're 150,000 acre feet over our previous record, and we've still got a couple of months to go in the year. Next slide. Phil mentioned how quickly this drought has come upon us, and it really has been something that's pretty amazing when you look at how quickly we can go from being in good shape to being in the state that we're in now. This shows where we were on October 31st of 2010, and you can see the system total there is about 96% full. So 1 year ago today, this is what our system looked like. The white there that you see at Lake Quitney, that's a little bit artificial in that the Corps of Engineers was doing some work on the gates at Lake Quitney, and so they had generated power to pull the lake down a little bit, or else Lake Quitney would have even been more full than is shown here. The same for Lake Belton and Lake Granger. They were doing maintenance there, and so each of those reservoirs was pulled down just a little bit. So were it not for those maintenance activities, we would have probably been around 98% full 1 year ago today. Moving forward, this is the slide that I showed you at the July board meeting down in Sugarland. Back in July, on July the 20th, we were at about 77% full. And you can see that we were in a stage one drought watch at Georgetown and Stillhouse, as well as Limestone and Somerville. And at Proctor, we were in a stage two drought warning condition. Next slide. This is where we were about 10, 12 days ago, October the 19th. And you can see that we've continued to go down from 77% where we were in July to about 65%. And you can see now that all of the reservoirs in the system are at least in some stage of drought under our drought contingency plan. You can see Somerville and Georgetown are shown to be in stage three there. Georgetown, we'll talk to you a little bit more later. It's actually back to stage two now. That was a result of some work we were doing on the intake structure at Stillhouse, but nonetheless, Proctor is still in stage two, and Limestone is in stage two, and the system as a whole is trending towards stage two sometime by the early part of next year. Next slide. Looking ahead at where we expect to be going forward, that last slide kind of showed you where we were today, and assuming we continue to have the same type of drought conditions that we've experienced over the last year, these are the releases that we project to make through the rest of this year. You can see in the middle column we've got September through December. So some of that's already happened, and then January through October of next year. And one thing I'd like to point out is this is assuming that we don't get any rain, assuming it stays like it has been over the past 12 months. So in all likelihood, we will get some rain somewhere, and if we get rain at one reservoir versus another, that's going to change this picture. So if one of the reservoirs fills up, none of the other ones do, then we're going to reshuffle the deck, and we would reprioritize where we're going to release water. But as of where we sit today, this shows you the locations of where we plan to be making releases for the next year or so if we stay dry. This here is a snapshot of where we expect to be at the end of the year, assuming the releases on that previous slide that I just showed you, and assuming we continue to have high use by our lakeside customers. You can see that the system total storage there is down to 57%. It was 65%, or it's about 65% today. One thing I'd point out is that the rain that we had in October actually bought us about 2 months' worth of water, because if you probably don't recall, but about a month ago we were projecting to be at 50%, right, or 57% today. And that rainfall that we got in October has actually scooted us back about 2 months, so that now we're projecting not to hit that level until the end of the year. You can see that we're going to be entering some additional stages of drought as we go forward. Lake Limestone, Stillhouse Hollow, and Georgetown are going to be in stage two. Proctor is still going to be in stage two. It would have been in stage three already had we not received the rainfall earlier this month. Next slide. This one is the real eye-opening slide. This is looking ahead 12 months from now, or through the end of September of next year. And again, this is assuming worst-case conditions, and in all likelihood, it won't be this bad, but we've got to plan for the worst and hope for the best. And a year ago today, I don't think anyone would have told you that it would be as bad as it is today. So this is what we're looking at going into next fall. And you can see that the system total will be down to about 35% full if the drought conditions continue. One thing that I'm going to point out, we're going to talk a little bit more about in this briefing and later on, too, is the situation at Possum Kingdom. You can see that of the 35% of storage that we have, a significant portion of that is in Possum Kingdom. That blue area in Possum Kingdom represents probably close to 300,000 acre-feet of water that right now we have difficulty accessing, while some of the other reservoirs downstream, when you look at Belton and Stillhouse Hollow, Limestone and Somerville, those are some of the reservoirs that we typically make releases from to supply our larger customers downstream. If we stay dry and if this materializes, those reservoirs are going to be down to the point to where we're going to need to reserve that water locally to meet the local needs from those reservoirs and be able to access that water from Possum Kingdom for our downstream customers. Next slide.
Let me ask a question on that last slide.
Okay.
Limestone has two generating plants that pull water out of it. Will that affect their operation?
If we get down this low, I think that it will. We've met several times with both Luminant and NRG, and as recently as last Thursday, I believe, looking at our forecast. And the thing with limestone is it's on one of the tributaries, so there's no way we can get water there. So that's the reason that it's critical for us to be able to access the Possum Kingdom water, so that these tributary reservoirs, the water can stay at home if it gets down to this point. But yes, if limestone gets down that low, it will be affecting the operations of both of those power companies.
Brad, we're planning a meeting with them at the first year to talk through these projections and trying to help them.
Right, right. Yeah, we've met with all the customers in a group in September. We're going to do additional group meetings the first part of next year, and we're meeting weekly with some of the larger ones. And again, some of John's staff and my staff were at Lake Limestone with the NRG folks last week going through some projections and worst-case scenarios so that, they can look ahead and also plan for what they're going to do should, these worst-case conditions materialize.
I talked to Lake Limestone last week, too, NRG, and Sunworks out there, and they said they have enough water on site for 48 hours if we cut them off at Lake Limestone.
We're also meeting with TECQ, Dow, UC Whitney, and Possum Kingdom. That's kind of the only sources of water that you can get for Dow. Serious financial, serious employment, and serious impacts on the local economy would be the result of them not getting any water. I have met personally with the new head of sure what's the plant called. Is that the district or the
The vice president of operations at Texas Operations.
Right. And a very delightful man. We are going through some of the options. We're talking with them as well as TECQ because, for example, the water that's available in Whitney is not permitted water. The water that's available in PK is not permitted, and it's also behind the dam, and there's difficulty. So we're exploring new ways. We think we're under a lot of pressure. TECQ is under the most difficult political pressure that there is. And you can characterize it, and I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but somebody soon, if these conditions continue, is going to be forced into the situation of playing God. At the meeting that we had in Belton, a lady raised her hand and says, "Why are you discriminating against the agricultural people? Cutting our water off and changing our livelihood?" And so then it's going to be down to where the ag folks, whether it be the rice farmers or whether it be whatever it is, they're going to suffer. And then it's going to get to what's more important, municipalities or electric generation. And so if this doesn't change, those are the decisions that we're going to have to make.
Bill?
When is this going to affect drilling?
Drilling?
Yeah.
I think it already has to some degree. I don't think they're as aggressive here as they are, like, for example, up in North Dakota where they're going crazy.
Right.
But I think it has to some degree. I can't answer you the specifics, but I think it already
I would think at some point in time it's got to affect it greatly if the drought continues.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Next slide. This is just a snapshot, again, of how much water we currently have available for sale. And at the long-term water, no surprise, we haven't had any long-term water available for several years now. Our interruptible water, I mentioned to you back in the July board meeting that we had sold all of that water by April of this year. Primarily, we sold it to Dow and the Gulf Coast Water Authority. You can see we've got about 700 acre-feet of that is in our balance now. We had a couple of customers that just recently canceled their contracts. And so we do have a little bit of that water there that could be used for customers through the end of this year only. The 2,500 acre-foot emergency reserve has pretty much been fully used this summer. In July, we were talking to you about authorizing third-party assignments from some of our customers that may have more water than they need, while other customers had less, and we authorized quite a few of those, but due to the nature of the drought and the fact that, you know, that our inflows are less than anything that we've ever seen, we've cut back on that, and as we've entered the fiscal year 2012, we've not been authorizing any additional sales of that excess third-party water. This is kind of the doom and gloom outlook going forward from the climatologist. You can see the drought is supposed to persist or intensify. This map actually goes from now through January the 31st, but most of the climatologists are saying that we can kind of expect to have warmer, drier than normal conditions through the spring, and then beyond the spring, they're hoping we'll get back to more normal conditions. But again, this is what they're projecting is most likely to happen. It doesn't mean that we couldn't have a flood and we couldn't have all the reservoirs full in February, but it's not likely based on the weather patterns that we're seeing. This is just another way of looking at the graphic that I showed you a while ago that showed each of the lakes, the cylinder chart for next September. You can see here we've got them all lumped together as a whole, and you can see where we were the beginning of this year with the storage of all of our reservoirs added together and how we've trended downward. And then the dashed line going forward is where we project to go for the system as a whole into next year. You can see we're going to be hitting our stage 2 drought warning level likely in the February to March time frame next year, and then we'll be down around our stage 3 drought emergency level this time next year. So what's next? What are we doing going forward from here? Obviously, we're working with our drought contingency plans and trying to follow those as closely as we can, coordinating with our customers as such as we enter different stages of drought. And one of the other things that we've been doing is under those plans is looking ahead at how much curtailment or how much reductions in water use do we need to put in place to be able to stretch our water supplies longer. And there's not really a right or wrong answer. When you get to looking at that, you don't know when the end of the drought is, and so you don't know if you've got to make your 1 gallon of water last for another 2 weeks or another 2 months. And so it's difficult whenever you start looking at curtailments and percent reductions and so forth, and it's different for each reservoir. And so we're looking at that as we go forward. We're, again, looking at options for releasing water from Possum Kingdom, and I'm going to show you a couple of slides on that here shortly. At Lake Granger, we've got an intake structure there that currently supplies our East Williamson County Water Treatment Plant, and it was one that we purchased from the city of Taylor about 7 or 8 years ago. And the intake is located in the upper portion of the lake, and there's a sedimentation that has occurred over the years where if Lake Granger drops below a certain elevation, then our intake will be isolated from the lake due to basically a berm of sediment. So we're monitoring that, and there's a potential that we could have to do some dredging there to keep that intake functioning. You know, we're working on the new structure at Lake Granger, but it's not projected to be in service until 2014, and so there's a chance that we could have this interim period where we've got to do some dredging at Lake Granger. We're looking at that. Phil mentioned we've got committee meetings that we'll be testifying at later this week, both on the Senate and the House, with regards to the drought. And I still left my quote on there from last time that we really are still one day closer to the next rain, but I'm about ready for that day to get here.
You also noted that whenever you saw this slide last time, that was on the top of the list, but it's not at the bottom.
The cynics around here tell me we're one day closer to running out of water, but I see the glass half full. We really are. We're 65% full of the system right now, and so while the projections and stuff do look dire, we still have over half of our storage in place, and we've just survived, you know, the worst 12 months that we've ever seen. And it's not impossible that we'll see it again, but the likelihood of seeing that 2 years in a row is pretty slim. Getting back to the issue with Possum Kingdom Reservoir, this is kind of a diagram of the dam, and I'm going to try to point out to you the situation that we're in and that we're looking at. If we just start at the top of the chart there, you can see that at Possum Kingdom, the reservoir is considered full at elevation 999. The next line you see is the bottom of our spillway gates, and those are located at elevation 987. And the spillway gates are what we use for flood releases when we have high inflows. But those gates, the spillway elevation is 987, so once the reservoir drops below that, there's no water that can flow over those gates or over the spillway. Right now, the elevation is, I believe, about 989.5, so we're about 2.5 feet above that. And so we expect to be able to continue to release water over the spillway for the next couple of months if we need to for downstream water needs. You can see the third line there is where we expect to be next June. Once we drop below 987, the only mechanism that we have for releasing water is through our low flow gates there, and we can release at rates of about 200 CFS, which is a fairly substantial amount of water, and it's enough water to take care of the water users between Possum Kingdom and Granbury, and it's also enough water to take care of Lake Granbury, but it's not enough to get water downstream to the large water users in the lower part of the basin. And so once we drop below that 987 level, then we're going to basically not be able to use Possum Kingdom and that water that's stored there to get the large volumes needed or potentially needed downstream. You can see the fourth line there is elevation 976. That's the lowest operational level for our low flow gates. And so once we get below that level, all that we have below there to release water are the hydropower turbines. And you can see the penstocks down at elevation 921. And we're unable to use those at this time. So what we're looking at are some options for being able to pump water over the dam or siphon water over the dam. We're also looking at an option for expediting the long-term fix to this whole solution, which is a new controlled outlet conduit that will be very similar to the existing penstocks. You can see there's a significant amount of water that's stored in Possum Kingdom, even once we get down to 971, which is the lowest operational elevation that we could practically siphon water over the dam. There's a limit on how far you can lift water for siphoning, and that's the elevation that we've come up with there. But even below 971, there's over 200,000 acre-feet of water stored in the lake. And so accessing that water in the coming months, going into next year, is going to be critical for us if it stays dry. The next slide. This is just kind of a picture of what a temporary barge-mounted pumping operation or siphoning operation might look like. We've looked at those, and we've looked at some of the costs for those. We were originally looking at actually setting barges up in front of the spillway and flowing the water directly over the spillway. But as you can imagine, if you get two or three barges out there with large pumps and 36-inch diameter pipes, and then you have a flood, you're going to be in trouble trying to get all that equipment out of the way to deal with the flood. And so we haven't necessarily ruled this out, but if we go to the next slide, right now we've kind of focused on this option for looking at using the emergency spillway. And here to orient yourself, we're looking down on the lake. You can see the dam up the top part of the picture, and the emergency spillway over here toward the bottom of the picture in the hashed area, that's at elevation 1,000, and if we ever had a flood that we couldn't release water through the gates, the water would flow over that emergency spillway and enter the river downstream. And so we've started looking at the pumping and siphoning options and using the emergency spillway and putting in some temporary piping. The problem with this is the cost you see down there. It's anywhere from $3.5 to $12.5 million, depending on which option you pick and how much flow capability you want to install. And the difficulty or the dilemma with that is it's not a long-term fix. So you're basically having to start putting things into motion today to spend that money to prepare yourself for next summer, whenever it could rain in April, and you know, you could be well along the way and have a lot of money that's invested that's, you know, basically you're not able to recoup. The next slide shows the long-term fix that we've been looking at. You've seen this slide before, and the cost estimate for this fix is about $6 million. The good thing about this option is once it's there, and it's going to be there forever. And so right now, we're trying to look at expediting this. We were looking at a 2014 time frame for getting this constructed. We're having to deal with FERC on this issue, but as of the last couple weeks, we've been focusing on seeing what we can do to get this done by next summer so that we don't have to invest money into some temporary option that we may not need, and even if we did need, we would still have to do this later on.
There's inherent risk involved in this option, but it appears to be the best option at the time. Trying to separate this out and be able to go forward with FERC and the bureaucracy with FERC is a full-time job. We're on the phone. We've been on the phone with them as late as Friday at 5 o'clock trying to separate these out and talk to them. And every time you send them one page, they come back and have 12 pages of questions that you have to go back and answer. The procurement process under open meetings, under bids, and how you get folks and you engineer this, it has not been engineered. We have a timeline that we just negotiated Friday that basically looks and say and says how can we make all this happen. Becomes a timing problem. How can you make all this happen in order to meet where, if it's worst case, Brad, we don't get out of water? And then we had to go through TECQ and get the permitting, and we had to go through the permitting process is laborious, but we do have a high risk resolution to go through that. And then when you had to go cut a hole up there for the new penstock, which is a high risk maneuver, which is 80 feet underwater, when the silt is coming up, it's a high risk undertaking. But it's the road that we're headed down now. We'll brief you on a little bit more on this later as to the particulars. But this is where we're going. Yes, sir.
What's the time? Are the penstocks completely unusable? Could they?
Yes, sir.
Have any water flow at all?
Yes,
or
sir.
Is it a safety problem? Or?
It's a safety issue because of the height. The chlorine has deteriorated the penstocks and the pressure, and then you're pushing water down through there to where you're and not generating electricity. And those pumps hadn't been on since 2007, and so we looked at it very hard. And rule that out as an option for safety reasons. Yes.
Was the issue of putting a liner in the penstocks ever?
Yes, sir. That was all looked at. But we can't remember when we came back and gave the big study about the cost effectiveness of it about a year and a half ago. That was all in there.
If you could start today, what's the time completion on this project?
November, that's the construction. We're looking around in the spring of next year.
6 months.
No, November, here it is, November the 1st, 2012.
Oh, November 1st, 2012.
Yeah, okay. A year.
Any other questions?
I'm not sure what I'm looking at on that previous slide. I mean, I see where the dam is, but the tower looking thing. That's what.
We're going to show you a picture that's an actual picture that will help clarify that. In the subsequent brief, we'll answer it.
Okay.
That's basically where the water enters the pipes to go down through the hydropower facility. So there's a structure that's kind of sitting out in the lake in front of what the dam structure is. You can see the blue area of water. You know, that's the dam that you see that to the right, and then we have this structure that's to the left of that. That's where the existing penstocks are, and it's also where the new controlled outlet will be located. That will flow water downstream below the dam. And like I said, we've got some better pictures of it that we'll show you later.
Well, I thought you said a while ago that if it goes down under, that it's not enough to sustain the downstream, like Dow Chemical people?
That's through the low flow facilities, and they're located at elevation 976, and you can see the penstocks are located at 921, so they're 50 feet below the elevation of the low flow facilities.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. With that, we will move back into the regular agenda, starting with discussion item or action item number one, discussion and possible action on amendments to the personnel policies. Monica Wheeler.